Well, my name is Hagen, and I'm going to preach on faith this morning. The attitude of faith. You know, we have a lot of challenges going on right now. The headlines talk about all the global junk that's going on, the national unrest, and the enemy would like us to believe that there is no help for us in our situation today. What worked before will not work today. Before going any further, Heavenly Father, I thank you that as we approach the Word today, that we'll have receptive hearts and open ears to hear what the Word has to say. In Jesus' name, amen. The truth is, as you open up your hearts and your ears to hear, every generation, going back all the way into the Old Testament, has faced challenges, difficulties, and troubles in life, and they exercised their faith in God, and He always came through. Anybody ever read that in the Word of God? You see, we need to continue to exercise our faith in the Word of God. What the promises tell us in the Word. What the Word of God tells us we have. You know, some people say, well, He promised us healing. No, He didn't promise us healing. He gave us healing. It's there. All you got to do is take it. There's a lot of times we say things are promises, and yet they're not promises. They're flat out statements, and all we got to do is receive it. You know, this is not the time to throw up our hands and say, oh Lord, look at this mess we're in. What are we going to do? This is the time that we determine. I mean, we just, with bulldog tenacity, we just say, Mr. Devil, you're not going to take me down. Now I said, you know, bulldog tenacity. If you ever, a bulldog, when they, you can take a bulldog, if it clamps onto a bone, you can lift him plumb up in the air like this and he will not turn it loose. I had a Brindle bulldog named Mickey when I was in the first, second grade down in Van, Texas. Now Mickey was my buddy. But I want to tell you what, if he got a hold of something, you're not going to take it away from him. You couldn't pry it away from him. One time, one of the deacon's grandsons jumped on me. His little brother got on me, and I got him off. And then the big boy jumped on me, but Mickey got him off. I was outmatched, but he wasn't no match for Mickey. You know, we sometimes just have to have that kind of tenacity, that kind of, all right, Mr. Devil, this is the way it is. He never loses. We just sing about it. You know, seems like that in our day and age, some people say, well, you know, having faith in God is too simplistic. We need something new. Since when did the Bible change? It's still the same. It's new every day. So why go chasing something else new? The Bible says it. I believe it. That settles it. Now let's go over here, talking about the attitude of faith. Let's go over to 2 Corinthians 4:13. 2 Corinthians 4:13. I'm going to read from the NLT. And then I'm going to read from the NIV, and then I'm going to read from the Jordan paraphrase, this same scripture, 2 Corinthians 4:13. Paul's speaking here, and he said, but we continue to preach because we have the same kind of faith the psalmist had when he said, I believe God, so I spoke. NIV says, it is written, I believe, therefore I have spoken. With the same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak. The Jordan paraphrase says, we have the same attitude of faith possessed by one of our past leaders who said, I believe, so I declare it. We also believe and state what that means to us. Now, here, we need to realize the context of this verse. Paul, what Paul is talking about is what to do when you're dealing with adversity, when you're in the middle of trials and troubles and situations. What do you do? You maintain the attitude of faith, an attitude of believing and saying. Saying what the Bible says, not what somebody else said, not what I said, not what Brother Hagin said, my dad, not what this preacher said or that preacher, what the Bible says. You know, so many times if you watch some of this, some television, you'll hear some of these preachers say, Brother Hagin said. Daddy used to get upset at that, and he'd say, I don't know why they just don't say what the Bible, because all I'm doing is saying what the Bible says. But you know, people want to attach something so it give it more credibility. Well, it doesn't give it any more credibility if you say I said it, or Dad said it, or Craig said it, or Marvin, or Tad, or Bill. It doesn't give it any more credibility. It's the Word of God. The Word of God doesn't need anybody to give it any credibility. Just say what the Bible said. You know, as I grew up with my dad, he possessed an attitude of faith all the time. Craig traveled with him for many years on the road. Doug Jones traveled with him for many years on the road. And they will tell you that he always had the attitude of faith. I don't care what happened. I don't care if we didn't have and I traveled with him when I was a kid, and you know, and teenager. I don't care if we didn't have 10 people. He got up there and he preached just like he had 10,000. He maintained an attitude when finances wasn't good. He maintained the attitude of faith. An attitude, you know, some people talk about somebody having an attitude. Well, you need to get this attitude. Now, some attitudes you don't need. But you need this attitude, an attitude of faith that says, I believe, and then out of your mouth, you say what you believe and what's going to happen. Come on now. I'm preaching better than your amen or teaching or whatever it is I'm doing. You know, some people say, well, what worked in the past is not going to work today. Hey, the attitude of faith of believing and saying what the Bible says will work anytime, anywhere, everywhere, all the time. You know, to overcome your adversities, you have to have this attitude of faith. Now, it's been said, and I've heard it many, many times by many, many people, you got to believe you can before you can. Anybody ever heard that before? If you played sports, I know you heard a coach tell you that. Because you have to go on that field with the attitude. I don't care if they're bigger, faster, stronger. You still have to go on up on that field with the attitude, I can win. You know. Now, I started playing men's fast pitch softball when I was 16. I played till they didn't have no men's fast pitch and everybody went to slow pitch. Any of you guys ever played men's fast pitch softball? If you got a really good pitcher, he's sending that ball in there around 100 miles an hour when he's got a good fastball. And I'll tell you what, man, I'd step in there. I knew this guy had a fantastic curve, and he had a fantastic drop ball and a screaming fastball. Now, if I step in there and say, oh, well, I hope I can hit this thing, I might as well not even get up there. You got to go up there with the attitude, I'm gonna knock your ball that you throw in here, I'm going to knock it out of the park. Wham! Come on now. See, you got to do that against when every kind of odds, when everything comes up against you, that the devil's throwing everything at you. You got to stand there and say, in the name of Jesus, the word of God says, I believe it. And it comes out of your mouth. No weapon formed against me will prosper. I am an overcomer in Christ Jesus. That's the attitude of faith. The attitude of faith cannot be defeated and will not quit. You know, Jesus said and told his disciples, you know this, in Mark 11:22, it says, have faith in God. Have the God kind of faith. The God kind of faith is an attitude of faith that says it and it happens. The God kind of faith is the kind that God had when he stood on the balcony of heaven and said, let there be light. Let there be this. He said, and there was. He said, and there was. Go read it, Genesis chapter 1. He said, and there was. He said, and there was. He said, and there was. That's what he tells us right here. Jesus told us right there. He said, have the God kind of faith. The kind of faith God had was, he said it, and it happened. If we'll have that same kind of faith in what he said, it'll happen for us too. You know, Henry H. Haskins said this, he who loses money loses much. He who loses a friend loses more. But he who loses faith loses all. Wow. That's something to remember. Yeah, it's bad if you lose money. You lose a friend, it's really, really bad. But man, if you lose your faith, it's all over. Come on now. Yes, people, many of you facing the mountain-sized problems, you know, but an attitude of faith will help you to remove the mountain of financial problem. The attitude of faith will help you to remove the problems of sickness and disease. The attitude of faith will help you to remove family problem. It'll help you to remove bondage and habits. It'll help you to remove the political and social unrest. We've got to believe God and speak the word over our nation, over our lives, over our cities. Come on, over our state. We need to learn how to speak God's word concerning our nation. Israel spoke concerning, and you can go read, many times they would come together and they would pray. And I could go back and, you know, there where Jehoshaphat called a fast, and the word of God spoke, and they went out to battle, and they won the battle. We need, and the word of God says, if my people called by my name will humble themselves and pray, call on my name, I'll heal their land. We need to realize that we have a power, and we need to use it. That is believing what God said and saying it boldly. Now, I'm not saying that we don't have to do some things in the natural as we maintain this attitude of faith. Yeah, we have to manage wisely and we have to do things that need to be done in the natural. But what I'm talking about is, When you've done everything you need to do in the natural, then you plug in the power of God with that attitude of faith. You know, I'm saying, you know, no matter how gifted or talented any of us are, there comes a time when we have to have this faith in God, period. You know, during around 871 A.D., England was reduced to a very low ebb. The Vikings had come in, and King Alfred the Great and a few of his followers were forced to the swamps of western England. And after a while, the followers began to grow weary and urged the king to try to negotiate the best terms that he could with the invaders. But King Alfred is reported to have replied this: "We've lost our land, our possessions, and our arms, but we still have our faith." And little by little, he forced the Vikings back and ultimately made a treaty on his own terms. Hey, the enemy may have you driven back into the corner. Your back may be against the wall, but don't give up. Don't give in. Keep that attitude of faith, and you'll come out on the other side. See, we have something that nobody else has, and that's the Word of God. And Romans 10:17 says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word." The problem with a lot of people is they're not hearing. They're not reading the Word every day. They're reading it occasionally. Or everything going along good, so they're not reading, they're not praying, just like Israel. When Israel, God would bail them out, and they'd go along good for a while, and then they'd start drifting off. They'd quit doing what God told them to do and end up in trouble again. Over the years, being in church, being 62 years in ministry, pastoring, evangelist, youth pastor, I did it all. I started out at 5 years old cleaning the church. So I've done it all but I have seen too many people, man, everything going good. But then the devil throws something at them, throws a situation, and they're not prepared for it because they have not been keeping their faith up. And now here they are, and they throw up their hands. "Oh my God, I thought you were going to help me." The reason he can't help you is that you hadn't been doing what you're supposed to do. Oh, that's a bad place to get quiet now. Come on. I have talked to many people over the years. "Oh, Ken, excuse me. I just don't know what's going to happen. I thought everything's all right." I said, this one person I told him, I said, "When's the last time you had a long prayer time?" "Oh, well, I say a prayer every day, you know, a quick prayer every day before I go to work." I said, "I didn't say quick prayer. We all do that." I said, "When's the last time you really got on your face before God and poured your heart out? When's the last time that you read more than 3 or 4 verses?" Come on now. You know, some people in the morning time, they grab a cup of coffee and they read a couple of Psalms and say, "Lord, bless me today. Amen. Hallelujah. Here we go." Well, that's good. You need to do that. But there comes a time when you need to sit down with the Word and put some time in. There comes a time when you need to have an extended prayer time. Oh, now it's going to get really quiet. That's all right. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word. You've heard it thousands and thousands of times, and you're going to hear it from me again and again and again, because we need to hear it over and over and over and over and over again. We need to be reminded again and again and again. How many of you are parents? How many of you have your kids have grown up and they're into their teenage years now? How many times have you reminded them over and over and over again about something? Anybody? Yeah. Why? Because you don't want them to forget about it. That's why we need to be reminded over and over again about some of the things of God, because we don't need to forget it. It doesn't need to go by us. Hello now. You know, you can choose to have faith or not. Henry Ward Beecher said, Every tomorrow has two handles. We can take hold of it by the handle of anxiety or by the handle of faith. Now he was if I understand it right, he was a Presbyterian preacher, I believe. I believe he started church originally in Indianapolis, and then he ended up in Boston, a famous minister there. But I want to read that again. Every tomorrow has two handles. You can take a hold of it by the handle of anxiety, or you can take a hold of it by the handle of faith. You choose. You choose whether to have the attitude of faith or not. It's up to you. It's not up to God. It's up to you to choose whether you have an attitude of faith. See, you can know when you have the attitude of faith because there's characteristics. You know, in the natural, you can pick up on certain things because there's certain characteristics that go with certain things. Am I right or wrong? All right. Let's read the cornerstone scripture of this organization, Rhema. Mark 11, 23 and 24. Most of you can quote it. I can quote it. But I tell you what I do. Even though I can quote certain scriptures, I go and actually read it out loud. Look at this. I tell you the truth. You can say to this mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen. But you must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your heart. I'm reading the NLT. I tell you, you can pray for anything, and if you believe that you received it, it will be yours. Now, characteristics. All right. The characteristic of an attitude of faith, it will believe what the Word of God says in the face of impossibility. When it looks like it's not possible. One of the characteristics of the attitude of faith is you will believe what the Word says in the face of utter defeat. You have to be fully convinced. Abraham was fully convinced that what God had promised, he was able to perform. You've got to be fully convinced. The attitude of faith is fully convinced. Nothing can change them. Nothing can change their mind. My dad, don't try to talk to him about not having that attitude of faith. He's not even going to argue with you. He used to get in arguments. He could quote more Bible than most people could. Most people can read. In fact, one guy said, they told him, he said, now you're going to have, we'll talk to him, but you're going to have to face him with that. He said, oh my Lord. He said, he can quote more Bible than I've ever read. So, but he was so convinced that he didn't let anything bother him at all. He never worried about anything at all. My mom said to him one day, said, well, Kenneth, I believe if me and the kids dropped dead, you wouldn't worry about it. He said, why worry about it then? You're gone. But that was his attitude. He did not, I don't care what happened. You're not going to get him out of faith. You can ask Craig, he traveled on the road with him. Doug Jones back there traveled on the road with him. I've been on the road with him. Many of the family knows that you're not going to get him out of faith. Craig, Denise, they're Paw, they know Paw, he's strong. The whole family, they would call him, They'd call Uncle Ken, pray for me. They'd call him, the whole family. The cousins would call him. They'd call him, pray for him. Back whenever I was traveling with him as a teenager, Pat's mama, that's his mother, would call and say, Kenneth, pray for Uncle Larry. You know, because they recognized he had that unmistakable attitude of faith. You need to get that kind of attitude of faith that everybody around you knows that, hey, he believes God. She believes God. You can't let anything deter you. Now, we're talking about Abraham. Let's see what it says here in Romans 4 about Abraham. And NLT says, Abraham never wavered in believing the promises of God. Now, I'm going to ask some of you a question. Don't nobody raise your hand, but how many of you have known people that you see them one day and they're talking faith, how they believe the presence, they got the attitude of faith, and you see them the next day and they're wringing their hands and, oh my God, I don't know what's going to happen. I've seen lots of people like that. I see some of you shaking your head, so you have to. And maybe you have been there, but you don't have to be there anymore. You can get the attitude of faith. You cannot waver at what the promises say. It either is or it's not. In fact, his faith grew stronger in this, and it brought glory to God. He was fully convinced that God is able to do whatever he promises. Fully convinced. I've seen a lot of people that make faith statements, but you can tell with their voice inflection, their facial expression, their body language, you might want to say, I can tell they are not convinced of what they're saying. Anybody ever seen some people like that? They're making faith statements, right? But they're not convinced. And guess what? That's a crack. And if you leave a crack, the enemy's going to come in and blow it wide open. You ever notice you get a crack in the cement and you let water get out in there and you let it freeze, that crack becomes bigger. Anybody ever notice that? And eventually, it's going to mess up all of it. See, you got to be fully convinced that what the word says is going to happen. Now, I saw everybody getting quiet now, aren't you? All right, let's go on. Let's get off that because you got too quiet on me there now. Another characteristic of the attitude of faith, it will always declare or speak the word of God with boldness. It's never quiet. People that have the attitude of faith are not afraid to speak boldly what the word says. You know, they have courage to speak what God said against impossible circumstances. Because the Bible said, when it's impossible with man, Luke 18:27, it's possible with God. We just sang the song, he never loses. You know, you've got to courageously and boldly state what the Bible says. I use these scriptures daily. No weapon formed against me will prosper. I've not been given a spirit of fear, but a power and a love and a sound mind. I quote those scriptures daily, 2 or 3 times a day. Because I want the devil to know that I am an overcomer in Christ Jesus. I am more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. See, so many times, many people, they're not bold. They sort of whisper. In fact, one time I remember Dad tells this story. He was in a meeting somewhere and there was some kind of epidemic type situation going on. The schools were closing down. I think it was a flu deal back in the 50s. And so they had the morning service and there were about five or six preachers there and they'd been having, you know, a pretty good crowd, maybe 100, 200, 300 people coming out in the morning time. I think they had 20 people there that morning. And five of them was preachers, and they was talking on the platform after the service, and they said, well, you going to close the meeting down? They said, no, I'm not going to close the meeting down. One of them, I said, well, I'm going to go home and get ready to have the flu. And they said, well, aren't you afraid you get the flu? He said, no, I'm not afraid I'm going to get the flu. I said it loudly, and one of the other preachers whispered, aren't you afraid the devil will hear you? And my dad, he boldly said, that's the very dude I want to know. I want him to hear me, and I know what the Bible says. The Bible says this, and he quoted what the Word of God said. That's the attitude of faith. Boldly, with no reservation. Come on now. I'm trying to get you excited about being bold with the Word of God through faith. Courageous. See, in the scripture, many people overcame because they had an attitude of faith. Two guys that I think about all the time, I preach about them a lot, used to a whole lot more than I do now. And when I was an evangelist, I did. Joshua and Caleb. They had the attitude of faith, and they boldly declared in the face of the whole congregation of Israel, all the other 10 spies, they boldly declared, we're well able to go in. God said it. We can take the promised land. They boldly declared it, and they kept declaring it, and they did. They're the only two of the old generation that went in. Why? Because they had that attitude of faith. That attitude of faith. Old Caleb, he got over there once they got in there 40 years later. Now he said, I'm 85 years old, but Joshua, give me my mountain. Joshua said, hey, Caleb, that's the mountain. That's the mountain that got all the giants. He said, I know, but I'm well able because my God. See, I'm talking about being convinced about what the Word of God says. How many of you got the attitude of faith? Come on. You know, David had the attitude of faith. He boldly declared, what are you going to do to that giant? The woman with the issue of blood, she boldly declared, if I can touch his clothes, I'm well. The Syrophoenician woman boldly declared that Jesus could deliver her child. Blind Bartimaeus boldly declared, Jesus, have mercy on me. I want to see. And he did. See, that attitude of faith with that Jordan paraphrase that said that we have the same attitude of faith possessed by one of our past leaders. The past leader they're talking about is David in the Psalms 116:10. David believed God and he declared what God would do. Look at this in 1 Samuel 17:34-36. David persisted, I've been taking care of my father's sheep and goats, he said, and when a lion and a bear comes to steal the flock, I go after them, and I rescue the lamb from its mouth. Animal turns on me, I catch it by its jaw and club it to death. I've done both this to lions and bears, and I'll do it to this pagan Philistine too, for he has defied the armies of the living God. Now drop on down there at verse 45. David replied to the Philistine, you come at me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you've defied. Today the Lord will conquer you, and I'll kill you, and I'll cut off your head, and then I'll give the dead bodies of your men to the birds and wild animals. The whole world will know there is a God in Israel, and everyone assembled here will know that the Lord rescues his people, but not with the sword and the spear. This is the Lord's battle, and he will give us to you. Man, he's talking bold, isn't he? He's probably a 5'10" tall, 18-year-old or 17-year-old. It depends on what chronological you want to go with. And he's talking to a 9-foot tall giant. I'm going to take your head off. Not because of who he was, but because who God is. See, we need to learn to have that same attitude of faith and begin to speak. Not because in our strength, but because of what is backing us, the power of God, the word of God.
I've seen it several times, picture of a little bear and some animals coming against him, and it stands up and it's trying to act big and brave and growling and so forth, and he growls and that thing turns and runs. But what he didn't know, Big Mother Grizzly is standing right behind him. That's what the predator saw. Hey, that's what you need to do when you start boldly declaring the word of God. The devil doesn't see you anymore, but he sees the power of God that's behind you. It's not who you are or what you can do. It's who God is and what God says and what God can do. I don't know about you, but I done got me happy. In David's life, it was the attitude of faith that helped him to conquer. In Paul's life, it was the attitude of faith that brought him through all of his adversity. In our life, it is the attitude of faith that will help us to conquer and overcome all our adversities. 2 Corinthians 4:13 is just as true today as it was the day it was written. John says in 1 John 5:4, for every child of God defeats the evil world, and we achieve this victory through our faith. The Apostle John, David, Paul, all had the attitude of faith. Let us determine to have the attitude of faith and boldly declare our confession of what the Word of God says in the face of every obstacle, in the face of everything that we face. When you get the attitude of faith, your life will be different. You'll be able to overcome things that the people around you say, I don't see how that's possible. But I want to tell you, faith, all things are possible with God. Remember that. Grab a hold of the attitude of faith. Have the tenacity of a bulldog and say, there is nothing. There's no devil in hell. There is no problem. There's no situation. There's no circumstance that can keep me from conquering my situation, because God said it. I believe it. That settles it. I will not be defeated, and I cannot and will not quit. Hallelujah. Everybody stand up. I preached long enough. You ought to be excited about now. I don't preach about faith very often, but man, I don't know whether you can tell or not, but it's inside of me. It was drilled into me from the time I came home to that parsonage in Farmersville, Texas in 1939 in September. And I lived in that attitude of faith all of my life. I know what it is. I know what it is to have that attitude of faith. I know what it is to win with that attitude of faith. Rhema is here today because of that attitude of faith. When we started building this building, Lynette, I tell you, people said, I don't think y'all can do that. Charlie back there, he was in charge. He's heard people say it. Right, Charlie? Hey, I told him, I said, I ain't building it. God is. When somebody tells you, you don't see how many, I say, hey, I'm not doing it. God is. You can't do that. I know I can't, but God can. So through me, God will. Whoa. Get the attitude of faith. Kick the devil out. Stomp on him. Glory. Glory. Sound like y'all got something back there. Y'all got something?
Yeah, we've got something.
I see you move. You move the mountains. And I
believe. Glory to God. I believe we'll see him do it again. And again. And again. And again. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I hope y'all, wherever you're at watching, is as excited as we are here. There is no distance in the power of God and the anointing of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hey, with this attitude of faith, I'm not going to pray, but if you have a situation, I want you to raise your hand and I want you to begin to, out loud, don't whisper it, boldly begin to declare and take charge of that situation in your life right now. Take charge of it. Whatever it is, you take charge of it. You boldly declare, boldly say, boldly declare it. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, according to the word of God, quote the word, quote the word. I'm healed. I'm whole. My needs are met. No weapon fought against me will prosper. I can't go under for going over. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Sing that again. See it. I used to hear my dad say to people, tell people, see yourself healed. See yourself prospering. See yourself winning. See, you got, by the word of God, you got to see yourself doing it. See yourself conquering. Glory to God. Hallelujah to Jesus. Glory to God. Well, I never like to preach a sermon that I don't give somebody an opportunity to find Jesus. Or to rededicate their life to God. If you happen to be in this building right now, you need to rededicate yourself to God, or you need to receive Jesus for the first time. Or if you're watching online there and you need Christ, you need to rededicate. I want you to pray this prayer with me right now. Repeat it after me. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Everybody say it. I believe He's the Son of God. I believe that He died for my sin, that He rose again. I believe what the Word of God says, that if I would believe these things in my heart and confess them with my mouth, I will be saved. I thank you now that I am that new person in Christ, because I believe and I've confessed in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. If you happen to be watching and you prayed there, well, you can go to your computer and go to partnerservice@rhema.org. Tell us about it. If you prayed that prayer in this room, see one of these people in these blue shirts, one of these ushers, tell them about it. Okay? Hallelujah. Tonight, 6:00. We're going to be right here Wednesday night, Hour of Power, from 7 to 8. Hallelujah. God is good, isn't He? How many of you going to tenacity. Grab a hold of that attitude of faith and not let nothing take it away from you. Glory to God. Well, we'll see you tonight. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Amen.